Hi, family. Wait a minute, I got to take the heels off because that way I can be real, real, right? Hi, family. I'm Valerie, blessed with recovery. And it's truly by God's grace that I'm here. And I just want to tell my buddy he robbed me because he know that wasn't a half an hour. But he must know I got a lot to be real about. So I'm going to, first I want to, ooh, y'all are so quiet. Thank you. I mean, we got a lot of introverts because, you know, that's what isolation is about. I could tell because y'all so quiet. So I want to thank y'all for not moving and not talking because I need your help. And I'm very easily distracted because I suffer with brain damage. Literally, you know. I know none of y'all don't have that. Y'all just used and y'all brain still works pretty normal. Mine don't. Isolation, I'm going to tell you, that was like a real, real good topic for me. And I want to really thank the committee for asking me to do this meeting. Because normally, I can't say that I haven't been asked before to do a workshop or speak at the convention. But I had always managed to say no and get away with it. But this topic kind of hit me in the gut, you know. And it kind of made me identify with who I was. You know, I didn't get into that. Why they asked me to do that? Why they out when I said, oh, yeah. I can do that. That's me, you know, all right now. So I'm going to start talking about the topic first, and then I tell you how I got here and how I've stayed here for 10 years with the help of God. Isolation for me would tell me that my situation is the only situation, and it's the worst situation. And nobody else is going through anything worse than what I'm going through at the moment. So what I do, and I'm going to be clear about this next statement, is that I will stay in my house, find an excuse not to go to work. I won't feed my children, but I will order out. And I'm on a budget, and I need all my money. But I order food every day because the disease of isolation won't allow me to cook the four-course meal, you know, the bread, the starch, the vegetable, the meat type of thing. And I have four babies that depend on me and a husband. I would go in my room, close my door, and I would chain smoke because nobody's situation is as bad as mine. And it ain't got to be monumental. I mean, it can be minute. You know, the boss could have pissed me off at work. And I tell my thinking and my disease to tell me, he got an issue with you. You don't really need to go to work, and it's so bad, you know. I'm so depressed, and just getting up going there is a struggle. That's just to give you a tidbit of how deep-rooted isolation can be for me. And unlike my coach here person over here that robbed me of time, but anyway, I came from a family of 8 children. I'm 39, and I'm the baby. Now, you would think that I wouldn't have enough time to be alone, but when you're the baby, you know mama say, leave her alone. Don't mess with her. Let her go in her room. Don't touch her. So what I learned very early on is to be by myself, and nobody better not dare F with me. Because mama said, that's the baby. Don't go in the room. And I shared a room with my sister. But when mom said don't go in there because she going through whatever, everybody left me alone. And so I learned very early how to isolate. Now the part is, the bigger picture to this is, I can camouflage it. Because I'm a friendly person. Those that personally came in here to give me support, thank you, because they know. They've seen me. I will camouflage, and I can be friendly and outgoing, and you will never know. You will never know. I know how to fake the fraud, I'm telling you. And then I go home, like I said, and I smoke the cigarettes, close the blind. And I mean, that's some really true stuff. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, if I wasn't a coward in those situations and time, I would literally commit suicide. But I'm too much of a coward to kill myself. So I be trying to think of some logical ways to do it. Thank God that he really don't give me that logical way because I really want to live. But at that moment, And at that particular time, I want to die. So I'd be like, you know, you too much a coward, can't do the wrist thing. You got to do that yourself. You got to, you know, hang yourself. You got to get in the tub, run the water, then you got to get in it and try to slide under there. And I can't swim, I got a phobia. I'm telling you, it's wild. I'm telling you, this disease is wild and how it would lead your thinking and make you so twisted. You know, I'm about to cry because recently I went through a situation. And I'd gotten sick. Thank God that he delivered me from that illness. And I'm not going to give a lot of metaphor about it because it's not for sympathy. It's just to talk about how I isolated myself. And what it done for me is it made me realize, I mean, hair was falling out. And I ain't want to tell nobody but my husband and my immediate family. And it's not something that I really told a lot of people now. Just for the simple fact that I don't want to be overwhelmed with empathy. You know, I just want to go on and live recovery, hopefully for 10, 20, 30, 40 more years. And anyway, my higher power brought me out of that situation, and right now I am clear of that illness. Gotta wear tracks, but I'm good. It's just a blessing to be here. And a lot of times it takes something really traumatic to bring you out of something. And I just needed to share that. Because I don't think, not that I died and came back to life, but I don't think dying alone feels real good. You know? Like I said, I can't say because I ain't died and, you know, I'm still here. But the thought that I could die and not let all you good people be a part of loving me at that moment is what scared me. I thought, here I am 10 years clean and serene, and I don't want to tell the people who have helped me stay here for 10 years. That's crazy. These are the very people that hugged me, loved me, truly when I didn't love myself. And I don't say that as a cliche, I mean literally. So for me to be so selfish and so deep-rooted in my own misery, because I want y'all to know that that's what isolation is really about. It's really about selfishness because everything becomes about me. And I really don't give a damn what's going on with you, like I said earlier. What I'm going through is more important. Your problem ain't nothing. So I tell you, yours ain't shit, girl. Let me tell you what's going on with me. You know, I won't even let you finish because I think mine is so much greater than yours. So, I mean, when I was going through that, I said, good God, you know, I have got to get better with this because I cannot be selfish for the ones, as they told me, that's coming behind me that I need to share. Not all the time, but when necessary, so that somebody will know that you can go through it, you can get through it, and you can go through it and get through it clean and be cool and knowing that your higher power got you. And I can share about it, and I can allow people to love me, and I can tell them what's really going on with me, because outside of isolation keeping me so deep-rooted in my selfishness, it'd tell me y'all ain't got my best interest, y'all envious, y'all jealous, you know, all kinds of crazy shit. And I'm talking about the disease itself. Now, because, you know, long after we get through the active addiction, that disease shit kick in. You know, that's when the step work really applies. I ain't talking about just working. I'm talking about they really apply, because you got to really start applying them so that you'll really be able to differentiate the difference and know that that's your disease thinking and not that moment and that sanity that your higher power promised you that he would give you if you was willing. So anyway, back to how we isolate. I want to answer the phone. I'm telling you, call ID is the best thing they could have made. I am loving it. Call Intercept. It won't even let people get through, period. You know, I don't look out the window because I don't want to be tempted to open the door because, you know, certain people can't touch you. So if you look out the peephole, You'd be like, damn, that's Sheila. I can't, whew, I cannot not let her in because she's going to keep knocking. You know? So I won't even look out the window. And I have people, some of the same, you know, two of the women was on the program committee. And they were some of the same people that told me, oh, yeah, you need to really do this topic because we sick of your ass. You know, I mean, they said it that way literally, you know, excuse my profanity. They was like, we sick of your ass. You need to really come out of denial because you walk around talking about I'm friendly, I'm sociable. But when it's my shit, it's just all mine. You know, and a lot of times I don't even let the God of my understanding come into play with it either. Because I would stick his ass in timeout, and I would tell him that he don't need to be a part of this situation until necessary. And when I'm ready for you, I let you know when timeout is over. And I get back to my selfishness. And I'm going to cry because I'm really sentimental. But I'm going to keep talking. Makeup going to run, but it's cool. I'm talking about this selfishness. I mean, I dare me tell the God that got me here, kept me here, keeps me here, that I don't want your help right now. Because, see, I'm going to tell you what happens is, when I decide I want to put him in timeout, that's what I say, it's a him. For those that believe it's a her, it's okay. I will put him in timeout. I want to take him out when I want to. And then when I really need his help, his ass ain't nowhere to be found. So what I believe happens in that situation is he said, okay, you got it, thing. Go on, Miss B. You can handle. You don't need me. I'm in timeout, remember? And I'd be like, please, where are you? Don't you hear me calling you? Didn't you hear me pray and meditate last night? What's the problem? You know, I've been getting to really think that I'm his boss and I'm ruling him. And he'll say, now you're going to really feel the sting of this pain. Since you told me to wait, now I'm going to make you wait. And once again, you know, it's cool is my favorite word because I'm telling you, it always be cool because what happens is even though he makes me wait, he always come at the moment I need him. And I mean, a lot of times, I don't know about other people, but what happens to me is when I go through adversity, I'm at my best thinking. You can get the best work out of me on my job because you know when you're going through adversity, you go to work, you mad. So you serious. I don't care if you're faxing, filing, driving, or whatever. You're going to do the damn thing. So you be at work that day. I mean, I be working. Mad as hell. But working. They get their work out of me on that day. I'm telling you, God is so good. And this program is so great. And almighty. I don't know what I would do without this program anymore. And I pray on a daily basis, not just to stay clean on a daily basis, but I don't never have to find out what it's like to be without this program. And that's necessary because isolation, I've been so close to actually using. And I need to say that to be honest. Because if I stand up here and say that I go through all that and I never thought about using, I'd be lying. And I don't think they asked me to share so that I can come up here and be this truthful to people and misguide them. Because that's not what hope and strength is about. A lot of times I've thought, especially these last 3 or 4 years, I'm telling y'all, I have my co-partner was relapsing. And I'm so stuck in the constitutional vows of marriage. I want y'all to get that. I didn't say that he was so grand and he was so phenomenal that I couldn't go. I said, I'm so stuck and I beat myself up so hard and I'm always worried about what somebody gonna say or what they gonna think. So I stick and stay. Cause I ain't giving up on nothing. See, people that isolate can relate. That's why we isolate. Cause when shit don't go our way and we feel like we ain't at our best, we'll beat ourselves up real bad. We become our own worst enemy. So when he was going through that process, I had to take a look at me and the parts I played. And either I was going to let it break me or make me. And that's not about him. That's about me. Because isolation, like I said earlier, is the situations that make you isolate so deeply that you become suicidal. Now, let me leave out homicidal because my temper is this quick. And I don't have a lot of patience. So what I start to say is, you know, them men, they niggas make me sick. I am so sick of them. All in my business. But then I have to think about, I was glad to have them in my business when I got here. That I couldn't stop talking. And I'm going to share that. And it looks like nobody's telling me I need to stop talking. Yeah. Phew. When I say that I thought about using, here's the kicker, y'all. You can actually use without physically using. So that I had all the behavior. I'm at home to take no baths. Don't worry, I don't stink. Y'all can hug me after the meeting. I wash today because I ain't isolating because I'm here. But I stay at home and I won't take baths. I left that out earlier, but I ain't mean to. And I won't eat. And as you can see, I'm very petite for 39. I can't afford to miss a meal. But I won't eat for weeks. And the doctor has to say to me, Valerie, you are 5'5". You should at least be weighing 130, not 116. And I say, because I'm so vain, I'm 39 and I have 5 children. I look good. Not realizing what the doctor is really saying to me is that I'm killing myself with whatever I'm going through because it's keeping me from living. Whew. I remind you, I said I was sick. And for those that can identify, in that illness, you go through a certain process and it becomes imperative that you have to eat. And you drink medication and it clogs your stomach up, and if you don't eat and you don't treat yourself right, you can die. I'm telling you, God is so good, y'all, because in this past 2 years, I have grown so much, not physically, I'm talking about emotionally, mentally, that and that's a deeper level of growth. You know, when people talk about, oh, you got to grow. See, when they're looking at the exterior, just because you start to dress a little more conservative and no longer like a hoochie does not necessarily means you're growing. It may mean that you just decided that your ass need to put some clothes on. Because spiritually growing, and I'm going to repeat that, is about maturing. So in that situation when I was sick, I learned that I had to now come in here and hug everybody. Not the ones that I had chosen to be in my network. Not the ones that I decided that I wanted to speak to. I am grateful, I'm telling you all, to hug each and every one of you. And I'm not saying I got a love for everybody. I'm not getting in denial, and I don't want to stand up here and lie. But I'm learning, and I've learned, and I'm still learning, that I can hug a person I don't like. Because it's about me. It's not about them. Now, they can get real vain and real arrogant and think it's all about their ass, but baby, don't get it twisted. I'm on a deeper level, and it's no longer about you. It's about how much do I really want to live? Not physically, internally. You know, spirituality is about maturity, not just growth. And when you start to mature in this program, people ain't got to tell you that you are growing, that you are changed. Baby, your higher power gonna let you know, because he's gonna reward you with some favor, some kind of way. Thank God he don't hold it against me for how I treat his ass. Woo! I'm telling you, our higher power is awesome. For isolation, that's it. And I just want to say to the newcomer, and even those that's been here for a while, because see, we tend to be the ones that really will isolate. Because we'll start camouflaging, think we got to keep up that image, and that ego will kick in, you know, that we don't want to tell people that we're going through whatever the situation may be. So I dare come in here and tell somebody that I have a crisis in my life. Because I've been here 10 years, 15 years, we should know better. We should know how to handle things. The only thing I can suggest to you is that not only do you get a God of your understanding, but you will become personal with Him. So that when that disease type of thinking kick in, you still got somewhere to turn. Don't be like me and have to wait for it to get so deep and so great that He got to see you bend your knees and cry crocodile tears, because He know that the moment it go away, I'm ungrateful, because my behavior was sad, and I act like I did it all by myself. I'm just so glad that for this year, not only is this a topic for me, non-isolation has become to be a part of how I live my life. And I hope that I just don't get up here and camouflage and say all this good shit to y'all today, and a situation come next week and I decide that I want to isolate again. So I'm asking you in your solid prayers, wherever you are, wherever you live, that you remember this topic and remember me and pray for me that I continue to be free of the disease of isolation. How I got here. In 1995, I was married to another gentleman. And we was like Bonnie and Clyde. Woo! We were bad. Robbing, burglary. Oh, we did it. Did it well. Then I moved a nephew in my home. I had two children in the beginning when he got there, and I had a third after he came to live with me. And he came to me during my addiction. And you know how great it is that you can be a cold stone addict, and I mean, I was a crackhead, dope fiend, and a drunk. And this young man loved me. I was his favorite. He could relate to me. So he said, Auntie, I'm not getting along with Mama. Can I come and stay with you? That light bulb went off and said, live-in babysitter. Come on, boo. I really can go do my thing now. And it took me a long time. And what I'm getting ready to share with y'all, I'm telling you, it has been difficult to admit that I used that young man. What happened was he came into my home to get guidance from me. An addict he came to get guidance from. Telling you, higher power is awesome. Even in your worst, he would lead people to you. So I used him, and he killed my three-year-old daughter. And it was really, really, really hard. Now I'm getting ready to cry. I know. I brought him into my home so he could babysit. And like I said, he came into my home so that I could give him the love that he wasn't getting at home. So I went on one of my benches, you know how we do. And I came back, and out of an act of rage, because my child who had diarrhea before I left, and I knew that, I left her there with him. He got angry, and his rage went out of control. And he killed her. And the most powerful thing you can do in this program is forgive. If you really want to know what you're working with, have to forgive somebody. And not twist your nose or your head don't snap or you act like you don't see them because you really don't want to speak, but you say you done forgave them. That's a hard task. So with the help of this program, I learned that I had to be accountable for the part I played in that as well. Now, I'm not saying what he did was okay, But what I'm saying is, I've learned how to forgive him for that. Now, it's not my job to forgive him for anything else. That has to come from somewhere else. But I forgave the man. So once I learned how to forgive the man, I already knew that my higher power would forgive that. I was running out of words anyway. And I really don't want my makeup to run because I'm a little vain too. And I got to go out here. I'm telling y'all, through all of that, I managed to isolate because it was highly publicized in D.C. And so like I said, you know, I learned how to isolate very early. And I still brought it to this program. And I'm still trying to get out of it. And I just, you know, I'm so grateful. I'm really glad that you all came in here because I came in here and scoped the room out. Right, Mr. Tate Man? When wasn't nobody in here but me and him, that was like about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I said, damn, this is a big room. I thought it was going to be small. I'd be more comfortable. But you all have made me so comfortable being so diligent in hearing me share my strength and my hope and my experience and know that you all are here for me and I'm here for you as well. And with that, I'm Valerie. Thank you for allowing me to share.